Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, welcome to True Hoop with me, Gerard Hector, and Coach David Thorpe. How are you, sir?
I'm well. It's a very, very busy time. Lots going on, but I'm okay. How are you?
Lots going on. 10 games to go in the season. It is also college basketball Sweet 16. So players who are playing are either continuing on their career or the last few games of their season / career. Which means you are going to start working out guys more and more and getting busier. Your son, Max, has made an announcement that he is done with the playing part of his career. I'm sure he said, well, Max, now the real work begins right now. Whatever your real job is going to be starts now.
Yeah. I'm not even really melancholy about it. Like the hours I put in, as a dad, or I'm supposed to do that. That's my job as a dad, and I did it joyfully. It was great. I wrote this on Facebook. I texted him the day after he made his announcement. He talked to his coaches about it. They called me. He called me. I had a feeling this was coming, but he's allowed to make his own mind up. I texted him like at 6:45 the next morning, something I thought he would address later in the day. He responded right away back. I didn't get up at 6:45 when I was a senior in college. Well, he's a graduate student, but he's still just 22. I said, what are you doing awake? He said, I work out, one of his players at 7:30. And I knew he had an 8:30 workout all the time. I didn't realize he had another one before that. This is what people like that do. So, I just talked to him just a few minutes ago. He's off today. So he's got a nice quiet day today. A lot going on, a lot of options for him. Not sure what's going to happen. Yeah. I would love for him to come to work for me, but I think he's going to have some other opportunities before that. I won't be on the court a ton with guys, although one guy called me yesterday. I'm not sure he's going to go in the draft or not, but he wants to get up here and do some things. A few of Max's teammates have called me, which I never talked to them on the phone before, but now they're not his teammates anymore. They're his ex-teammates. So I can talk to them. So we'll see how that goes. But I do help guys with what they're supposed to do. And all my guys just got done except for one who's playing tomorrow night. And then my son, Ryan Pannone at Alabama, has a big game tonight against North Carolina. Big, sure big game. It's going to be a tough one for them to win. Carolina's obviously a one seed for a reason. But between that and another guy that I mentored, got a big deal with an NBA team. We'll talk about some other time. It's just a G League's about to end. Now these guys got to ramp up, because if you're a two-way player, you can't dress for your varsity team, but you practice with them every day. And if you're playing in the G League, but you're a rostered player, you're probably not going to play in the playoffs, but you're still around. Right. So, and then the playoffs are like right around the corner, right? Right around the corner.
Ten games.
It's a wild time. Yeah, it's good. I'm not complaining.
10 games, and again, aside from the Boston Celtics, nobody knows where they're going to be seated right now.
I was looking at that today. Yeah, it's really pretty wild.
We here at True Hoop often are critical of the league, and rightfully so, because we want this sport to be as good as they can. This particular thing they've done with the in-season tournament has proved to be extremely beneficial, making the regular season game so much more exciting, and they matter down the stretch. Again, besides Boston, nobody has their spot guaranteed, and it looks like most of these seedings are going to come down to the last game of the regular season, well, which is crazy.
But on that subject of the in-season tournament, an agent and I were talking this morning, if the Pacers and the Heat right now are tied in the loss column, Indiana had a semifinal win in the in-season mm-hmm. tournament. That counts.
Ooh, nice.
But their last game doesn't. The loss doesn't count against them.
Okay.
I'm almost positive I'm right on that.
Yeah, because because it's one extra.
So they could actually beat Miami by a half game or whoever it is, because there's so many teams there because of that semifinal win, which I think is kind of cool, actually.
Yeah. Very, very cool. No, it is. Look, as I just said, it's going to go down to the last game of the regular season to figure out who's where and who's doing what. And, you know, that makes the job even that much more difficult for players, coaches, prepping who we got next, who we going to gear up for the playoffs. How do you know if you're going to be in the playoffs? You might drop to the play-in, and you got to worry about that first. So it's a lot of exciting things going on. But, David, you know, we talked about this on Monday, and we said, you know, you so aptly put that, you know, the NBA is, you know, basically driving drunk right now as it relates to allowing gambling gambling dollars into the league, and it's just we're waiting for a crash. And I'm not going to say this is a huge crash, but we're skidding off the road in that Jontay Porter, Toronto Raptors two-way player, brother of Michael Porter Jr., the Denver Nuggets, is being investigated because two prop bets involving him in two games this season, one in January and one this month in March, were the highest NBA prop bets on those particular days, and they both involved the under for Jontay Porter in those prop bets. Why does that matter? Because he pulled out of both games with injuries. You know, look, once we started taking the money, not we, the NBA and Sports League started taking money from gambling companies, and these prop bets and all these different things were introduced, this was always a logical thing that was bound to be something people were going to ask about. How do we know this person is really hurt or whatever the case may be? Darko, the head coach of the Raptors, said, look, if the guy's telling me he's hurt, all I can do is believe him and trust him. This is where we are right now. But David, this is a small thing. And look, I'm not saying anything bigger or nefarious is going on because I don't know. But let's put it like this. I would not be surprised if there's way more things going on than just this little thing we were told about.
So I was thinking about this. You know, man has been drinking alcohol forever, but you couldn't drive drunk unless you were given the horse alcohol for a long time. Mm-hmm. That wasn't happening. And then there were cars. And then there was lots of probably drunk driving until we started having laws. I like laws. There are people in this country who don't think we should be governed by anything. I'm someone who thinks that I'd like being on the road knowing if you're going to be driving drunk, you're definitely breaking the law. That doesn't mean people aren't doing it. So this guy got busted. That's these. If indeed it's true, there's no arguing the prop bets. So that's always going to trigger investigations. If you're involved, mm-hmm. you're going to get caught as a player. And hopefully every single time. But the smarter, whatever it's organized crime or whatever, whoever's managing this kind of stuff, you probably shouldn't do so much money that you're going to get flagged. Mm-hmm. The reality is there are people that are dumb that'll get caught. There are people that are smart that won't. You're not going to catch everyone. And that's an uncomfortable thing to admit that there might be this out there. All the more reason why agents have to do a good job of tracking who's around their players. It's super important to know who's around. Agents like to babysit players for a reason. This is why. Mm-hmm. They are targets. Mm-hmm. And they're young. I mean, Porter's 20, whatever. He's a kid.
Yeah, very young.
Yeah, so I'm glad to see the NBA grabbed it, but there's bigger issues out there. I'm worried it's going to get – I mean, when it happens in the playoffs, whatever, it's a bad, bad scene, man.
I mean, and David, I mean, why wouldn't it? Like, why wouldn't it? And to be clear, folks – Jontay's under investigation. There is nothing has come out about him betting on any of these games. The only thing that the DraftKings Sports is revealing is that under bets with him were the highest winners for the sports book on those particular games. He happened to not play and pull out with injuries in those games. Right. He played like 2 or 3 minutes and then left the game.
Right, but let's look further into that, because I didn't even realize that it so bothers me. I didn't even look into it very much, but we are now. So to bet the under on a two-way player suggests that that number wasn't 0.5. Like it was some...
One of the games, it was made threes. It was 0.5 was the line for made threes.
Oh, so okay. So to make one, you lose.
Yes. So they were right. If you bet the under, yes. If you made one, you bet the under, you lost.
So
yes.
Yeah. So yeah, that's just a weird guy to pick for something like that, and it's not so weird if you tell him, hey buddy, you know, don't you shoot any threes tonight. You know, can't make them, you don't shoot them, right?
Or can't make them if you play 5 minutes and then say I'm not playing the rest of the game.
For sure, that's the case. Also, yeah. Yeah, that's a little bit weird on that one, because just don't shoot the three. I talked to a player, literally texted a player this morning who's a little injured. His finger's injured on his shooting hand. And so I said to him, he went like 0-7 last game. Well, here's something as an idea. Don't shoot them till your finger is healed. He's going to make the playoffs. He'll have all the time to catch up. And he said, I'm better when I dribble it to shoot than just catch and shoot. I said, okay. So when you're wide open, dribble first, then shoot. Tell your coach ahead of time. Because it looks weird when you're wide open to dribble it first. Normally, it's not the better way to do it. But you can choose not to shoot them. The whole thing's it's very suspicious, which is why they're red flagging it. And this won't be – you're right. This won't be the last time we talk about something like this.
And once the integrity of the game is questioned, David, I'm not sure where leagues go from here, right? Because then it's – well, no one believes anything that they're seeing, right? Everyone thinks someone's on the take, and – when you lose credibility with your audience and the NBA already has issues, right? In our group chat this week, I threw in that the NFL, Christmas is on a Wednesday this year. The NFL's playing Christmas games because they're like, we don't care. We now own Christmas, which used to be the NBA's day. They're losing market share in the United States already in terms of viewership. And when you lose credibility with your audience on top of that, not a recipe for success.
Well, They've got to do some things. They definitely have to really. I was talking to an NBA player about this exact thing. They are told frequently about the perils of betting. Well, you just got to ramp it up a little bit now, league. You've got to. You know, you may go to jail. You're making a good living. You're top 0.0 whatever percent in the world. You want to get a quick fix? Good luck with that. Because you're going to go to jail for this, and you're never going to make any real money again the rest of your life. It's not worth it. And you got to keep preaching it. Same thing the agents have to do. People like me have to do. I've never addressed it with a player ever. I need to. But first of all, someone like me I'd catch it very fast. Like, what the fuck are you doing? I've never seen you do that before. I watch all your games every second. And, but yeah, I'm going to have to address it now in the offseason for younger guys especially. Stay the fuck away from any of that thought. Anyone ever approaches you, contact your team. Tell your they have a security people. Tell them what's going on. Yeah. Yeah. It's scary.
It is for sure. David, as I mentioned, the races and the seeding for the playoffs haven't been decided yet, and teams are fighting like crazy to solidify, and every win matters now, right? So, you know, players often say, oh, we got time. It's a long season. Yeah, you do. But when you screw around in the first part of the year and don't win games you should, now you're in a situation where, okay, every game matters. See, Boston, they did what they were supposed to do. Beat up on everybody. They're fine now. They're not worried about anything. Everybody else, worried.
Yeah, they're 100%. I just saw Dustin Threes has a probability. They're 100% to be a one seed.
Yeah, they're already clinched.
I didn't know that.
Already done. They won the games they were supposed to win. Yeah. So they can now figure out rest. Everybody else now has got to fight, claw, and battle. What that means, too, is that you're going to be in more heightened emotional states during games that go down to the wire. And if a referee calls something that you don't like, it's going to escalate further. Last night in the Clippers 76ers game, the Sixers had a chance at the buzzer to win on a play. Kelly Oubre Jr., I think two consecutive times in a row, drove to the rim. Warren blocked out of bounds. Second time, pinned up against the rim. No foul call on either. I believe the NBA came out and said, should have called the foul on that last one.
Really?
They didn't. Yep. Nick Nurse was hot, as you would imagine. Oubre said some choice words to he went onto the court and pointed at all the officials and called them the B word. It was, you know, guys are annoyed and PO'd. And it got me.
He said, bitches, man.
Yeah, to all of them, he said, you're a bitch. He was hot, man. He was hot. Look, we know it's a competitive sport. Guys get fired up. All these things happen. And we also have been reading a bunch of articles and stuff being put out about the lack of foul calls being called basically since the All-Star break. And Tom Haberstrom wrote about it.
I've been talking about it forever.
It's just we see it. And the NBA at first didn't. They're like, oh, no, nothing's going on here. But then when everybody started writing about it, they were like, well, maybe we're, you know, having them watch what offensive players are doing. And it's just my question to you is how are players feeling at this point right now about the state of officiating as they head towards what they all consider the most important time of the year?
My sense so far is they all, you know, for many years as a coach, my brother and I used to say players and coaches and referees, cats and dogs. So it's just cats and dogs. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's any worse than it was before. It's those guys are idiots. They have they're terrible referees. So I don't sense that it's any worse than it was before. They were inconsistent then. They're inconsistent now. My guess is Kelly Oubre is guilty of not being a superstar. I watched the last few minutes. First of all, Philly blew the game. Tyrese Maxey fell down, being tripped over his own guy's foot. Wasn't anyone else's fault. They made some bonehead plays. They fouled stupidly a couple times, gave Kawhi like an and one and all of that. But I thought in that last play, Kawhi kind of used his forearm to kind of guide Oubre away from the rim a little bit. I couldn't tell if you fouled him on the arm level, but I was just watching a synergy today on my big screen. I didn't see it. I saw slow motion, but not high def the way they would on TV. And so, if they said it was a foul, then I'm sure the NBA is probably right. I don't love that. That's not different. The other stuff, the Lakers, you know, shooting all those free throws against the Pacers, and I watched that game. There is some inconsistency, but normally it still has to do with superstar versus
superstar
commoner. It just does.
Yeah. David, there are parts of the game that are for referees that are subjective, right? What you might deem marginal contact, another person might not deem marginal contact, right? And I think that's also an area where players have an issue. It's like, well, if I block a shot and I follow through, and my hand grazes the fingertips of the offensive player, is that a foul on me? Some refs say yes, other refs no. Like, and I think this idea about, well, what's incidental and what's not, or what's marginal contact and what's not. We saw that in the Suns game last night as well. I'm like, how do you know, and how are you consistent with, okay, this is definitely for sure marginal, this one not so much. And I think a lot of it, again, to your point, has to do with, well, who's doing the incidental contacting. Is it a multiple-time MVP and superstar? Okay, one thing. If it's some Joe Schmo rookie or number 10 on the bench, something different.
Yeah, not to get into politics, but you know, how do these billionaires fall ass backwards into more billions, like the Truth Social bullshit going on right now? It's a scam to me, but it's reality. So this is a reality. Don't fucking touch the superstar. DeMar DeRozan really isn't a superstar anymore, but gets treated like one. The calls that he gets on his side are just a little, they're more lean, they're more, less forgiving if you touch him. It's where you hit a guy, the level of contact, the timing of the contact matters. But it matters more if you're one of those shiny objects that the NBA loves. But I think this is the same way. I mean, was Tom Brady officiated the same as the average quarterback? Probably not.
No.
That's my guess. Right. I don't follow it. But, you know, do certain strike zones expand or contract based on who the pitcher is, who the batter is? That's human nature to some degree. That doesn't mean I'm glad you're calling it out. It's up to us to point out these issues and other of journalists and so forth. And then the league will have to respond or not respond. I like a more physical game. I want to protect our shooters. That doesn't mean there can't be some contact, but on the shot itself, I think we should leave guys alone. And they should be calling those fouls no matter who they are. As I always say, call what you see. Call what you see.
And as we mention all the time, the whole waiting to see what happens. Well, here's the thing. You can call the foul, and especially if it's like on a drive to the rim, the player's going to keep going and put the ball up. So blow the whistle for the foul then. And then if the shot goes in, great. It's the basket counts and it's a foul. Like, I just don't get why they wait until, oh, it missed. Now
they want less calls. They want less stoppages. I mean, this is all the debate that they've got to work through it, because I'd rather them, to me, you call the contact if it's in the rule book, and hopefully the players will stop fouling and you'll get the fluid game you want to begin with. I don't like picking and choosing based on the success of the play. I think that's a big mistake. Yeah, that's because it's not accurate to what's going on. And you shouldn't be a consequences driven officiating system. You shouldn't have that.
Yeah, and you know, it's just to your point, right? As I said, the league's in trouble in terms of like it growing itself and it as a television product. And you know, fans have complained forever that watching free throw shooting is boring. And okay, all well and good, but it's sort of like you're putting lipstick on a pig, right? It's like, well, going back around and doing it this way to stop the problem isn't exactly it, right? Like, I think make more consistencies of what we're saying about your calls. Call what you see, right? Instead of, oh, player fell, foul, whatever. Do those things, and I think you're in a much better situation than, all right, memos come down. We got to do this and ramp this part of the game up. It's you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, and it's just ultimately not a good look.
I would like next year to see the G League rules of free throws put in for at least the in-season tournament and preseason. And let's get, I'm so used to it now watching as many G League games as I do. The 1-for-2, 1-for-3, it's just faster. It's a much faster situation. You know, guy gets fouled, you go to the free throw line, you check your phone for 2 seconds. Or for me, I check another game and right back at it. It really is much faster. I think that's like in 10 years from now, if I'm still doing this kind of stuff, I bet that's the rule. Last 2 minutes. I don't even care if you don't change the last 2 minutes. But if you want to, that's fine. Before then, we're gonna speed the game up. It's gonna go faster.
No, listen. Innovation is necessary, right? We talk about it all the time. So I'm totally down for that. All right, guys, we'll be back after a brief commercial break. All right, David, staying on referees and players doing things. Draymond Green got kicked out of a game last night. Surprise, surprise. Fourth time this season, I want to say. Either way, most he's ever had in an NBA season. It's against Orlando Magic, a game the Warriors needed to win, which they did. You know, luckily, because the Magic stink on offense mainly. But I just, you know, you saw, first of all, Draymond just continue to go at the official. In ways that he knows is wrong. And it comes to a point, David, where honestly, there's so much blame to go around. I mean, he was suspended for a large portion of the season for this exact thing, right? I mean, obviously, what happened last was that he actually physically hit another player, right? But it's all part and parcel the same with Draymond, this inability to control himself and his emotions when he is playing the game. And it results in either physical harm against the player or constantly berating refs. And he was tossed. And he was really like, you know, first of all, what the foul didn't even involve him, which is had nothing to do with him. It was Andrew Wiggins. Nothing to do with you whatsoever. Cool sticking up for your teammate. But you are not the messenger for that. Let somebody else on the team talk to the ref about all that. Anyway, he gets tossed. And look, Draymond's to blame for sure. The Warriors are to blame because they've enabled this behavior since the beginning, right? And they reward him with bigger contracts and you're sticking around. I mean, he punched a teammate in the face and you sent the teammate away, right? He got traded. Draymond got to stay. And this is unpopular and I'm going to say it, but this is also, to me, an indictment on Steph Curry as a leader. Like, I'm sorry. If you are the guy who everyone's saying that best leader in the NBA, the guy everybody wants to play with, your inability to have this guy under control and or tell management, look, we're trying to win games here. And this guy he's not helping us win games right now. When he leaves, this is hurting us. That's an indictment on him as a superstar because they have control and power within organizations to make things happen however they want to. We know that's how the NBA works. So for me, this Warrior situation is kind of like more of the same with Draymond, man.
Well, I don't, without knowing the details in full, I won't really go with Curry. I don't know what he's trying to do. He doesn't get to make the decisions on who plays. That's, you can call Kerr out too for the, his inability. Well,
yeah, that's what I said. The whole world, all Lakeham, Kerr, everybody, all of them.
It's clearly something. I mean, it's just something's wrong. He seems
they've enabled it, David. They've enabled him to do this.
For sure, they have. There's no argument of that. You'll get an argument from me on that. It is. I mean, he took a timeout before and got some help, right?
Well, help, clearly the help didn't work, right?
Well, it didn't work for long. Is it four ejections, you said? And that's the most of his career?
I think so, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's a mess.
And David, they're in a dogfight right now.
Oh my God.
To hold on to the to the 10 seed.
Are they Houston's coming?
Well, we'll talk about them in a minute.
Yeah, I know.
It's unfathomable to me that this is a championship player, someone who's been a part of four titles, right? You know the importance of being on the floor and how your team responds when you are playing. And I could see why, if you're a young player, the same, remember that friction they had last year, David, when reports are coming out between the vets and some of the younger players?
Yeah.
I could totally see why. A young player comes in and he's like, wait a minute, this guy's allowed to do whatever he wants, and no problems, and meanwhile we miss a read on a split screen action and we're not going to play for a month. Like, this doesn't seem right. And yeah, we understand there's hierarchies and all that, but this just isn't right at all, and it creates a dynamic that amongst the team is not helpful. And look, I just don't know. And you saw Steph was frustrated in that game, like,
that's just not like the first time,
chair a couple times. I mean, it just, and again, This is your man, Steph. Like, you know how this dude operates. At some point, somebody's got to be like, hey, man, I don't want to deal with this anymore.
Well, that's
not fun.
That may have happened, and they can't do anything about it until the postseason, to the offseason. But they also could have traded Steph. I know someone the initials DT who suggested that they trade Steph. What they could have got for him, who knows? But man, they could have got a fortune for that guy. And Kuminga looks pretty damn good. And Podziemski looks pretty, he's got a chance anyway. He's a rookie. He's got a chance. Like, they could be healthy soon if they had made some deals, but they chose not to. And arrogance comes at different places in people's life and in different ways. And I think Golden State felt like, oh, we can figure this out. The evidence is suggesting no.
No.
They're lucky. They're lucky Tatum played in the World Championships or with the Olympics, whatever it was, 2 years ago. Yeah,
right. They should have lost that series for sure.
Yeah, I think Tatum, if he's healthy and rested, I think they kicked their ass.
No doubt. Speaking of teams and playing well in playoffs, we had a great game last night. OKC and the Rockets went to overtime. We'll talk about the Rockets in a bit, but I want to talk about OKC. Now, they were without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, to be fair. So that matters.
All caps, neon sign, light, the whole thing. Okay, they were without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yes,
while Jalen Green had 37, and they were missing their elite defensive player.
They're also missing. It's funny. A lot of people are saying, David. Well, not a lot of people. Like a lot of broadcasts. Oh, Jokic, runaway favorite MVP for a start. And I'm like, is he?
I don't think so.
Shai. I don't think so either.
Yeah, I haven't looked at I haven't looked at the EPM chart in a while, but last I looked, Shai was running out everyone. No, Embiid's number one.
Yeah, but he's not,
Shai is by himself at number two. And then way down the list is Luka. Like,
yeah.
I think Jokic is the best player in the world when he wants to be.
And
I've said that for 4 years now. Mm-hmm. And I think Shai is, without question, the MVP.
I agree. Okay, so the Thunder were playing without the MVP. Right. Huge miss. Yeah. Still went to overtime with this. I don't even call him pesky because that seems like disrespect. This really, athletic. They fight, David.
Really athletic.
It's cliche, but he'll always say, players take on the personality of their coach. I mean, this is Ime Udoka, and this is him. Like, he gets into it, man, with his players, with the opponents, and this team embodies that when they play. You see it. Jalen Green has been on a heater lately, but I want to talk about OKC and a concern I have. So Chet fouled out in the
third. He was bad. 18 minutes he played.
Yeah, which is so not good. And I was like, oh, Beyond, you talk about depending on a rookie in the postseason, it's always, you know, who knows what's going to happen. Their backup center position, David, I'm not, yeah. Listen, Jalen Williams is fine, but let's say Chet fouls out or he's in foul trouble and they have to play Williams for extended minutes. That's an area in the playoffs that concerns me a great deal for this team.
Yeah, they're doing better on the defensive backboards, but I still think it's an area of real concern in the postseason. Chet's had a bad shooting month. Who knows what it means? It's the end of the season. It could be a lot of things. It could just be bad luck. Could be a tweaked ankle, tweaked arm. We don't know.
Could be just tired.
Exactly. We don't know. So they're really young. I was looking at the starting lineup today. Mm-hmm. You know, Dort and Shea are fine. The other guys are young. Mm-hmm. And the playoffs is a different animal. And you really get focused in a way you don't in the regular season. They got out-hustled. And they're normally the ones that are doing the out-hustling. They're young, energetic. Mm-hmm. Houston just was all over the place. 16 offensive rebounds. Yeah. Amen Thompson was everywhere. And then
everywhere.
And then Jalen.
Springy, lively.
I'm telling you, if you looked at just his points in that game, Jalen Green, mm-hmm. you would think, oh, this guy's going to be the best shooting guard in the world.
I mean, he looked like it.
I don't know that he'll keep it up. We'll see. It's been a good month for him. Very, very, very good. Not a great season at all. He's still a negative player, basically. Mm-hmm. But holy cow, was he a highlight reel. Like, it was one of the greatest highlight reels. I wasn't highlight reel. I watched all of his possessions that he scored. He was extraordinary. His sudden stop three, his step back threes, attacking the rim, hanging in the air and getting fouled. He was amazing.
He has a springiness and
a length.
Anyway,
aggressive. Like he's had the best month of his career. We'll see what it means.
For sure.
We'll see what it means.
We'll continue on them. So back to OKC. So yeah, so the Chet area, if he's in foul trouble or tweaks an ankle or whatever in the playoffs, that concerns me. You had mentioned astutely in our chat that Josh Giddey's starting to score a bit, which is nice. And they needed all his points last
week.
Night.
Yeah, this was last week.
Because if they didn't have those, look, they would have been in trouble. Clyde would have lost that game in regulation.
Yeah, he had like 31.
But I wonder, he did. Is that sustainable come the postseason? I don't know. We haven't seen it. I mean, we've seen a little sample here of like the last four or five games where he's doing well. I don't know if this is sustainable for a whole series when everybody knows this is what you do. Well, let's take it away.
It's sustainable in the sense that he's never going to draw your best defender. Correct. It's always going to be Shea. So if you've got two really good defenders, you better make sure the second one has some size because he's not blowing by you. He's just got size. And what I noticed a week ago is he'd take advantage of size in the second box or near the first box. Just kind of little scoops and little runners and the hook shots in the lane. Pretty nice stuff. I like that. He's weaponized. Mm-hmm. That is transferable unless you've got a second stopper. Not a lot of teams do that. So, but still, it's when you're young, the level of urgency tends to not be there. I'm sure it's the same in swimming. The veterans normally can ramp up their level of attentiveness and intention because they know this is the only moment that matters. Like literally this morning, I'm texting players in the G League. Their season's done by the weekend. And if you watch some games, I saw an amazing Austin Spurs versus Salt Lake City game two nights ago. Salt Lake City had won 9 straight. Austin's very good, but they need to win a playoff game. They need to win a game or two to get the playoffs. That game was fantastic. Talent was great. Everyone was competing like crazy. That isn't the case. If you watch like the College Park team, Atlanta, they're struggling and they're not going anywhere and they're kind of mailing it in. You've got to just, nothing else matters but this possession right now. And I think veterans tend to be much better. Young people get distracted. Yeah, we get distracted. But I should say, I used to get distracted. Less so now as you age. So OKC, I mean, they're probably feeling like, oh, we'll be here for the next decade. Well, maybe not. So you take advantage of what you got. And I think their coach has done a great job. I think their franchise will say, hey, you want to feel pressure? Lose in the first round this year. And all of a sudden, all of our jobs are at risk, right? Because this is we're more responsible now because we have to be. Because we've won games. We have expectations placed on our shoulders now.
And I think this this battle that they're in right now, because it's them, Minnesota, and Denver still all within half game of each other.
Yeah, for sure.
For to get the one seed. Yep. So these last to like win to get the one seed, I think this is nice for them. Just kind of see when teams come in and play them, it's not going to be like, oh, we got the end of the season, let's just coast. No, you want to win to get the one seed. They want to win too. So you're already in like early, not quite playoff intensity, but early like, oh, this game actually matters mode. So it's good to see how they respond to that. Oh, Jalen Williams, by the way, not the backup center, starter, was phenomenal last night.
He's amazing.
He's just a super, super exciting young player. Again, I just want to see these guys with their first taste of the playoffs, how they're going to react to it, right? Some young players respond well and rise to the occasion. Others, it's like, oh, I didn't know it was like this. It's like, yeah, well, you'll learn. Reference points. So it's all going to be great for them. All right, let's talk about Houston. 10 in a row. We talked about Jalen Green.
That's something.
What was this team's record last year? 14, and I mean, they were abysmal last year. Yeah. Like, just god awful. They probably lost 10 in a row a bunch of times last year, is my guess. They just really want to go after this 10 spot.
Yeah.
This play-in.
Their game back.
It's there, and they want it. They want it, and you can see it. They totally want it. They're talking about it. They have the right guys and disposition in there. Fred VanVleet, very, again, talk about veterans, emotional, a level-headed guy who can keep these guys. All right, youngsters, dispossession. Got to lock in here, grind. Jalen Green is nobody's all-defensive anything, but David, he's at least competing on the end of the floor. Like, he's not a turnstile where he's like, oh, sure, here you go, layup. Come right in.
No,
he's trying.
He's impressive. We know Amen Thompson is a crazy good athlete. He had 25 last night. He was great. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it without
Jabari Smith Jr., three in the corner off a pass from Jalen Green.
Oh, really?
Jabari Smith Jr. Oh. I thought Jalen was going to shoot that himself. He saw Jabari wide open in the corner, flung it. I'm like, you passed the ball? Oh, yeah. My God.
That's growth. That's growth. And they're doing it without the big fella.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, without Şengün.
Yeah.
If they had Şengün guaranteed, right, they're going to get that 10 spot, you'd think. Yeah. Sure.
I think they're really good. They're really...
They might get it anyway.
Yeah, they might get it. Golden State's got to deal with this now going on. The Lakers seem like they've got a little bit of a buffer zone. Mm-hmm. The two up on Golden State.
Yeah.
So the three up on Houston. Yeah, it's... boy, it'd be... If you're Denver and have to play that athletic team in round one, you're gonna beat them. But
of course.
It probably is good for them to have to get through that and raise their level of play. But Ime's going to have his guys so locked in. They're young too, except for, like you said, mm-hmm. Fred and Brooks.
Dylan Brooks.
He had a good game.
Yes, yeah, sure did.
Yeah, it's the West is a beast.
They, you know, again, Ime, kudos. I mean, this guy really. I mean, look at the turnaround of this team.
They're two
games above 500. I mean, this is you're seeing development.
Who's the coach? Like, so we'll do Coach of the Year at some point, but who?
Yeah. God, like, I
mean, he probably gets the votes now, right?
If OKC gets the one seed, Daigneault's going to get it. But look, Ime's got to get votes, and our buddy in Orlando, Jamal Mosley's got to get votes. They're a four seed.
Who do you think's going to get it? Daigneault?
Yeah, he's going to. Yeah, especially if they finished one or two, they might. I mean, yeah. It'd be hard not to give it to him.
It's a really good case. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's a really good case. Young, and I think Ime and Mosley have been fantastic.
Oh my God! Again. You talk about it all the time, inspiring, breeding spirit, and inspiring guys who want to compete. David, this team last year, the Rockets.
No, they were a joke.
What were they even doing? They were just fooling around. There's none of that now. No. Like, compete. And it doesn't matter who they're in the opposite.
Udoka, like you said it, like he challenges them. He talks shit to everybody. And you know,
everybody.
Funny. I've been around a long time now. I remember not just him as a player, but as an assistant coach, my guys always liked him when they played for him, but they never said he was like this. He's just irascible. Like
there was a game the Rockets played the Lakers this season. I think Ime got tossed because he said it was like, you know, a timeout and LeBron was maybe saying something to one of his guys and Ime might have used the B word at LeBron. LeBron's like, hey, you know, don't be using that word. And Ime's like, what you gonna do about it? You ain't gonna do nothing. And I was like, whoa! And again, you know, we are not about the whole like macho machismo, whatever. But
these guys play that way.
Correct. There is a, this is a physical game. And if that is, he's breathing that into, and that's how they play, David. Green plays with that kind of like, what you going to do? And it's like, my God.
I'll tell you a story. So my best friend when I was 2 years old, I'm still friendly with now. He builds the most beautiful homes in Florida, certainly in my area, but I think they're like national award winning homes. And they're, you know, $10 million, $25 million homes. And an NBA player of mine was looking to build in this area. So I connected him with my buddy, Bobby. And he's the president of the company. He's a founder. And he was looking at a piece of property that they weren't sure about certain, some trees and some of the, I forget what it is. It was on the water. And it was some kind of brush.
The pitch and slope and all that.
Yeah, but there was like a brush, like wild plants, whatever, that you're not supposed to dredge up. And people have gotten in trouble in my area for doing that.
For sure.
Okay. So my player, because I walked a lot with him, and he's like, you know, maybe can we come in there and maybe do this, this, and this, and is that against the code or whatever? And Bobby said, I tend to want to ask for forgiveness before I ask for permission. You have to have some success to be able to do that. Udoka carries himself that way. Like, I'd rather offend you and say I'm sorry than say anything else. You know, there is a mentality to playing. You don't want to cross the line. Draymond's crossing the line too much, but you want to get close to it. Like, that level of fight, I think, is really important. Yeah, I think it's really important. And I mean, if he did nothing else for Houston, he's given them that. They didn't, and I think getting Fred, I don't think it was a smart move financially. You'll see in a couple of years, but I understand what they were trying to do. Like, let's get some fighters in here with these young guys and create that environment. The Heat are famous for that. It may have run itself out. We'll see. Jimmy's not. I've heard some rumblings in Miami, but yeah, what's happened in Houston, we got to give credit to everyone involved. We really do. We've been
no doubt
critical of what you used to call the owner, broke boy.
Broke boy, Tillman Fertitta.
Yeah. But their team is no joke. Their team is no joke. And
for real.
If you look at their team's progression, the elasticity over 5 years, it's pretty impressive.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And the last thing I'll say is, you talk about this all the time. You coaches don't coach their players hard because they're afraid. That's one thing Ime is not is at all. He coaches those guys hard.
Real lesson for that.
Challenges them.
It's a real lesson for
that. It's huge, man. It makes all the difference. Another game last night, David, that was big. Denver and Phoenix. Denver playing without Jamal Murray. Phoenix playing without Yusuf Nurkic. Phoenix won that game. Very good Durant game. He was really good defensively that game, too. Really good last night on the defensive end. Five blocks. Really good individual one-on-one defense. I saw Steve Jones on Twitter, son of the great Steve Snapper Jones, tweet out, you know, this is who this Phoenix team is. And I'm not sure what they are, but I'm telling you, nobody wants to play them in the playoffs. It's in some version of that. And that's the thing. They are such a confounding team in that way, David, in the inconsistency. But I'm sure none of those top seeds are like, yeah, let's play Phoenix in round one.
Well, first of all, I had no idea that he was Snapper's son because I'm an idiot. I'm just stupid with stuff like that. That's cool. I love him. I follow him and all of that. Players don't typically say, oh, we want that team. We don't want that team. That isn't common anyway. The natural, I know where everyone's getting at. We all think everyone's afraid of Durant. Understandably so. But it's not like he has a great track record other than his Golden State years. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, pre-Golden State, he was very good.
Right, but that was 10 years ago, 8 years ago.
No doubt, no doubt.
So I don't think he's right. I think if they win a round, The next opponents be like, fuck, you know, they figure some shit out.
You're like, you want them in round one. That's when they're.
Listen, it's a fair debate to have. I don't think they're thinking about it because they don't know what to think. They've been I mean, he wrote this. They're so hot and cold.
They might be great. They might be terrible.
But if they get by round one, they'll be the underdog. And by the way, they could be 3-6. And Phoenix secretly gets after the offensive glass. Okay,
especially with Nurk,
can really struggle with defensive backboards. So you're giving Beal and KD and Booker
and Book
more possessions. You get by round one, and all of a sudden, that's when the next were like, God damn it! Like, you get them out. Because you have to prove it first. You have to prove
of course.
It first.
Everyone does. Vogel's, everyone's got to prove
Vogel's
it first.
Vogel's won a championship. Mm-hmm. KD's won a championship. Book has been to the NBA Finals and won two games mm-hmm. in a row. Like, those things are real. And but Steve is right. Like, I don't know yet. Like, we they could lose in round one and nobody would be surprised, right?
No, and that's the thing about them. So it's funny watching this game. I was like, I wonder what, literally before the game started, what Phoenix team are we going to get tonight? Is literally what I said. I was like, oh, we're getting good Phoenix tonight.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's the same thing with the Clippers. I think we saw a nice little face with the Clippers. I realized Phoenix, mm-hmm. I mean, Philly's not the same team. I watched that game.
Right, no Embiid. Yeah.
But I did, the Clippers really struggled to play with joy, which is why Harden did his thing in the baseline with Kawhi. And they struggle sometimes to play with that edge. They really do. Yeah. And I thought last night they did. They should have lost the game, but they stayed with it. It helped that Maxey fell down over his own man. That's a mistake. When you see something like that, that is just, boy, that's why you lose a game. It's crazy shit like that happens. He just tripped over his own man.
Which happens.
It happens, yeah. And then Kawhi gets the and one and all of that. Still, I thought the Clippers, they showed some signs of life, which they need to show.
Did you hear what Ty said about them? Not last game, but game before.
I did, the soft.
I was like, we're soft.
I watched it. Yeah, that's when the Pacers beat their ass.
He said, I'm sure, again, Tyloo, another kind of coach, calling out veteran guys, calling them soft. I feel like they're going to,
Yeah, Tyloo said after the Pacers game, they got drubbed. People are saying that, players are saying they really have an identity. He's like, we have an identity. We're soft. That's our identity right now. I thought, I watched it live. I watched it the next morning. I thought, all right. They responded, I thought, against Philly. Philly helped them, but I thought the Clippers competed better.
How much do you think the absence and now return of Westbrook matters in that
game? It matters. Because
that's one player that soft is not a word you will call him.
It did not matter against the Pacers just because they got overwhelmed and Indiana had given a win against the Lakers the night before, and they were mad. And Indiana also was sick of losing the second out of a back-to-back, and they just played incredibly, which they're capable of doing. They did not do that against Chicago, but Chicago was a very physical team, and Indiana was dead. 5 games in 9 days on the road, they're ready to go home. It happens all the time. Last game, a road trip. It's hard to sometimes drum everything up. They did against the Clippers. But, yeah, I thought that I think Westbrook makes a big difference. I do. That's where he really helps that team, injecting that energy and that toughness into that team.
Yeah. No, it's all – listen, again, guys, this is all fascinating. Where everyone's going to wind up these last 10 games, I couldn't – we couldn't tell you. We have no idea. I mean, we got some idea. The top three in the West is going to be those three teams. It's highly unlikely anybody gets into the top three besides the ones that everybody knows about. What order they finish in? I don't know. And then 4, 5, and 6? Don't know either. I mean, we certainly don't know. 7 through 10. It's wild. David, some news came out. I don't think we talked about this. Maybe last week or the week before that the NBA announced that it is shuttering its G League Ignite program.
Yeah.
Which, not as...
You could argue it's been shuttered for a while.
Well, not a surprise to you. And it's... Well, let me be clear. David's not rooting for it to be a failure. That's not the thing. Right, but he's just like, what was the plan going on behind this? It doesn't seem like development was your plan because you're not doing anything that involves development with these kids at all.
The league is getting out of the development business. I've heard that they're closing, or at least if they're not closing fully, but they're going to scale down their academies overseas.
Wow.
I don't know that for sure. I've just heard that. And so I think they're going to get out of the development business, which they should. Because they have no idea.
You're not good at it.
No idea. I'm just telling you the truth.
And them getting out of it is kind of a tease to a piece that you're going to be working on about what this may mean for college basketball and all the different things happening with NIL deals right now.
Yeah, we're writing. You know. We'll talk about it on Monday because it'd be great because we're going to the Final Four week. But yeah, we're looking at the changing landscape of college basketball, and I think it's going to be good for college basketball and the NBA. Yeah, we'll talk about that on Monday. Yeah, we're finalizing it right now.
Have more mature players come in, which is great, right? Players who, because college doesn't have a monopoly in development either.
No.
But I'd argue that there are college programs that clearly are way better than NBA G League Ignite at developing players. Because we've seen it.
Pretty much everybody. Yeah. They just didn't do it. They just didn't know from who they hired to how they prosecuted everything, it was non-existence. But again, there's an art to it and there's a science to it, and I don't think they spent time in either.
You know, to me, David, and one of the models that you take from, and also European club teams don't have a monopoly on this either. But one of the things that gets stressed over there, I know for certain, in a lot of places, is skill development and then running tactical plays. You talk about tactics all the time from coaches, as opposed to what happens here a lot, which is, you know, especially AAU levels, play a ton of games. And I'm like, well, what are these kids actually working on practicing? We talk about the NBA, nobody practices. Do they even practice at the AAU level in the States? I don't think that much. From what I hear from parents who are in it, tournaments all weekend long. I'm like, right, well, when are you going to practice? What practice?
Well,
like,
when they do practice during the week, first of all, the best AAU teams typically are comprised of players from all over the place. So they can't practice because they don't live in the same city.
Problem number one.
Yeah. When I got my son involved, we picked a team 45 minutes away, but I could drive 45 minutes. It was 30 on the way back, 45 because of traffic. On the way there, we practiced, you know, at like 7 o'clock at night, you had to go through traffic. That was fine. 2 days a week, then twice on the weekends. Great. And we didn't want to look for anything else. I don't want to be part of just an exhibition team is what they are. Mm-hmm. They're playing in AAU. They don't practice during the week. But even then, most of these teams aren't really practicing. It's just roll a ball out, play pickup.
Right.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah. There's just no strategy behind it, most of these guys. And that's how the G League Ignite played. It's really sad. I watched them play in LA, at UCLA this summer. Mm-hmm. And you could see the talent, but there was never a thought that, oh yeah, these guys they're playing with purpose. They're just out there. Yeah.
Do you think, I mean, it's probably true, it probably happened that Jalen Green got more development this year at Houston than he had his entire time at G League Ignite?
Yes. I think there's no question. It all comes down to this: a coach or coaches that are showing you what you're doing wrong, guiding you towards doing it right, and helping you understand day by day how to go from A to B. I was telling some friend of mine the other day, you could almost argue that I steer players. Mm-hmm. The guys that I have that are veterans and all-stars and whatever, I'm more steering them away from the bad stuff. Because I just have to make them mindful of something, they'll fix it. The younger players is much more intense. That's why I charge them a higher percentage of their income. I'm doing way more work. The steering is easier because they already have figured, they've already learned calculus. Now it's just applying that calculus, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to do. Well, I shouldn't say that. It takes years of experience as a coach to do it. And you have to have some gravitas, young guys, mm-hmm. to listen to you. And I will tell you, it doesn't matter that I'm almost 60 and that I'm fucking mostly gray or close to it and 6 feet tall and Jewish and everything else. I don't give a fuck.
Can you help me get better? That's all.
That's it. I couldn't say any better than that. Can you help me get better? That's all they want. And the few, I know one woman in particular is a coach in the NBA. She's terrific. And the dudes listen. And one player even said to me about a female coach, I don't think some of my teammates realize she's the smartest coach we got. So I listen to everything she says. I gravitate to her all the time. That's smart. They don't care. They want to, most of them don't care. And so but as a coach, you better be good at what you do. I've told the story before. I ran a camp in Turkey 1 year. I ran many camps there. But in 1 year, we were doing a clinic and I had some young, aggressive guys that they wanted to speak to. I spoke, Hubie Brown spoke, some more well-known guys spoke. And I had one young guy who was a very good player in college, but he was becoming a coach and he wanted to speak. And I said, great, what's your topic? And how well do you know this topic? Because over there in Europe, they are going to question the fuck out of you. He's like, well, any question you? I said, exactly. But you're not me. I've been here like 5 times before, and I'm an expert on this particular subject. And when I'm not, I can admit it, and they're not mad at me. We figure shit out together. But on the stuff I'm lecturing on, oh, this is the gospel. So are you delivering the gospel? Oh, I got it. Bad.
Nope.
And he's a terrific guy. He was a great player overseas for a long time. I had to step in and save him because he just hadn't thought it through all the way yet. The NBA is no different. The difference is they're not going to be belligerent. They're turning you out.
Right. Not listening.
Not listening to this dude. In fact, that's what I tell them. Smile, nod your head, right? As an agent said to me regarding a player, in one ear, out the other. Yeah. I literally had a head G League coach sat down a player right before the game, maybe an hour before the game, and showed him all the videos of the threes he missed the game before. Now, this guy was shooting 50% from three for the team, but he had two bad games in a row. He just couldn't make a shot. And the guy was saying, just stop shooting, just drive. And the guy's young. He's thinking, I'm not going to make it to where I want to be if I don't shoot the open threes. And the last thing I want to hear right before I play
is about what you're not yet.
Right. And he did it after the first game. And then he went like 0 for 6, 7 in the next game. Come on now. So that coach is done. He'll never coach again. I guarantee you. Because if he's doing it for this player, he's doing it for all the players. This guy's the best guy on the team. You know he's doing it for the second and third and fourth best player too. He's done. Can't do that stuff.
There's an incorrect saying that people love to use. And it got changed into a book in the positive way. The incorrect saying is those who can't coach. And the book got made, those who can coach. And that is exactly it. Those who can, C-A-N, right? And that is David Thorpe. Those who can coach, right? And this is not something you just, all right, let me look up and pick up and I just do. It takes a long time to learn, understand, master, communicate all the various things. It's not just, all right, cool, I'm just going to do this thing. And that's not how it works.
Yeah. Man. When you were a player, there were lots of things you did to be a great player. But if you want to look at the books behind me, or I have an office closet here and over here full of videotapes, Rick Pitino's and Donovan and all sorts of stuff. VHS. I am back here too. John Chaney and tons of books, 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 books. Video, 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 and now I just live on Synergy. I had a call Synergy yesterday, my guy Matt Curley, because I ran out of cash, basically. And I didn't even know this. It refreshes every 6 months on its own. Yeah. And I've never got the warning signs that I'm getting now. I probably could have gone two more weeks maybe and made it, but I was nervous. I didn't know how to do it because I'm stupid and old. He had me talk to his technical supervisor. It's super easy to fix. So now we're refreshing it every month. Man, I'm going through 100 to 150 clips every minimum. Every day. I normally probably doing 2 to 250, and I doubt I'm number one in the world, although I'm probably pretty high. But so my point is this. I don't think the G League coaches were doing that, the Ignite coaches. I just don't think they were. They were former players.
It would seem to me that's what you should do with G League Ignite. That's common sense to me.
I don't. Right? There's no other way to do it. There's no other way to do it but show them on film. Teach them, show them, teach them. Let them try it in games. Let them fail, okay? Coach them up. This is the only way to do it. And the film is a magical gift. Like, here's what it looks like when you suck. I had a player. This is a true story. I had a player who's just not shooting free throws great. This is an NBA player, and he's struggling with balance as much as anything. So I went back to my son, Kevin Martin. Only a career 87% free throw shooter, and I had nothing to do with anything other than one thing. Just be balanced. Don't fall forwards. Don't fall backwards. And I have not watched Kevin shoot free throws in years. He's been retired for a while anyway. And so I go back. I pick some year, maybe I don't remember anymore. He was playing for Minnesota, and he shot 87%, I think, that season, which was his career. And he looks like a metronome. Boop, boop, doesn't move forward, doesn't move backwards. Over the years, his form has changed some because he used to shoot more on the left side of his body and then he moved over to the right and then more in the middle. That changed, but his balance didn't change. And again, Steph Curry's the same way. They're so good that on occasion they could be a little off balance. It won't matter. Mm-hmm. Most guys can't just throw it in no matter what, all right?
Right.
But the balance is everything. So all I had to do was show him the film, my player, of when he's balanced, what he looks like. Here, first, I send the film of what he doesn't when he's not balanced. I don't want that to be the last image in his head. So I send him the video of what he looks like imbalanced. Then I send him two clips of him with perfect balance from two different angles. One time, the camera was in front because some teams do that sometimes. The other one is high and behind him. Perfect balance. And then I send him like two, maybe just one clip of Kevin. No, I sent him two clips of Kevin. I said I could do it. He made thousands. He looked this way almost every time. He's doing much better now. And by the way, I've done this before, just not with Kevin clips. I'm going to have to do it again. And then something else is going to go wrong. But this video is magic. And that's not to say the G League Ignite didn't use clips. I'm sure they did. But not nearly enough. And not nearly enough teaching, and not enough inspiring either. It's bad. It's been bad basketball for years. It's unfortunate. But the better teams who use the G League the right way, just like Major League Baseball with their minor leagues, will benefit hugely. No doubt about it.
No doubt. You know, players love saying ball don't lie. Film don't lie, right?
Ball lies all the time. Film doesn't lie. That whole referee stuff.
Yeah.
I laugh at that. Like, are you kidding me? Do you know how many absolutely fraudulent free throws have been made because of bad fucking calls?
Fraudulent.
All the fucking time. Yeah. But ball doesn't lie. The film doesn't lie. It's right there in front of you, buddy.
All right, David, top five time. And you inspired me last week.
Yes.
By putting the Rockets in. So I went crazy on my top five this week. All right, on my number five line, the winners of 10 straight, the Houston
Let's
Rockets.
Go. David, we're both on the Rockets ship.
I think they're going to get that 10 seed. I really do. And I hope they do. It'll be fun.
I don't know if they will or not, but I know this. They're my number five, too. 10 straight.
Yeah, can't argue.
I would say we're on our train, but it's the Rockets. They're on our ship.
And it's not, you know, normal, oh, end of the season because people are bullshitting 10 games. Oh, no. Like, okay, these are legit 10 wins. Yeah. All right, number four line, who you got?
I kind of went the same route one more time, although they're playing well anyway. The Knicks are coming. They're getting some guys healthy. And I'm a little bit upset with everybody else who was not playing so great. So I had to give New York their due. They're 8-2. Last 10, I think I gave them a 4.
I'm with you. As I said, I went crazy in this list. I knocked everybody out of who's normally there. Knicks aren't on my 4 line, but they're coming. The Mavericks are on my 4 line.
Yes, sir. God, I wonder if we ever talked about how we thought they won the trade deadline. Didn't we kind of write an article about that?
I wonder who. Yeah. Somebody might have written.
Yeah, as if I was talking to Henry. I mean, I'll be honest with you. He gave me credit for noticing how good Gaffer was going to be for Dallas.
Yeah.
I said, you have to be stupid not to see it. He's like, and he got mad at me in a friendly way. He's like, David, he's like, we're not stupid. We just don't see what you see. I said, no, correct. You didn't watch what I saw. That's the difference. Anyone who saw the Wizards play would have realized Daniel Gafford is much better than Derek Lively. You just weren't watching the Wizards, but I have to watch these guys. It doesn't take a genius to see he's much better than Derek Lively. And I like Derek Lively very much. I'm not even saying he won't be better than Gafford one day, not this day, and not tomorrow either. And PJ Washington finally had a good game the other day. That's been not such a great thing, but I like his talent playing for it. They're just coming around. They are. It's nice to see, but I don't have my top five, but I'm glad you do. That's cool.
And Luke and Kerry. All right. My three line. Oh, who's on your
I went customary from here on in. I got OKC at 3.
Okay. Yeah. They dropped out for me. Knicks are on my 3 line.
Yeah. Yeah, we both saw it.
Excellent ball.
Yeah. So I've got OKC at 3. And then I went my top two, Denver and Boston. Yeah.
Yes, same. So I kept the top two the same. I couldn't kick Boston out. I mean, they're like the best team in the league.
I almost protested and only did Denver and Boston. No one else is there.
Everybody else sucks.
It's a two-man race at this point. But no, I'm glad I didn't, at least for this week. We'll see what happens next week.
Yeah, no, for sure. All right, guys. Watch the rest of these games over the next several days in the weekend. And we'll be done soon, and then we'll talk play-in, and we'll get ready for the playoffs and figure out what's what. Take care.